This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. Recently, scientists issued a statement indicating the world's atmospheric carbon dioxide level had reached 400 parts per million. Prior to the Industrial Revolution, the level was about 280 parts per million. For those concerned about climate change, this is an alarming threshold. We don't know yet what it will mean in the coming decades, but the last time the CO2 level was this high in the atmosphere, about 2.5 million years ago, the Earth was a much warmer, much different place. Those who've been concerned about climate change have been talking about this, and some have taken action. One of those people lives here in Michigan. Matthew Grokoff with GreenOvation.tv joins me. So, Matthew, since 2008, I was counting up. I've done something like 15 stories about your house or about energy efficiency or water efficiency in homes. You've been working on this 112-year-old house in Ann Arbor, making it energy efficient, finally adding solar panels to make the home the oldest net-zero energy home in North America. So I want to get an update. You've had a couple of years now of solar power. How has solar energy been working out for you?
It's been fantastic. We've achieved net-zero energy, and our next stage is actually net-zero water. We're at the point where we've proven what's possible with retrofitting an old house, and these things – it's kind of a no-brainer at this point. We say that net-zero energy is really not a challenge. It's a choice. Net-zero water is a little bit more challenging.
Well, let's talk about the energy portion of that because you've had some experience now with it. Are you actually producing more energy than you use in a year?
So right now we are producing more energy than we consume in a year. Today, as met right at this moment, even though it's a little bit cloudy, there is more energy going back to the grid than the house is using.
Now, people get excited about this idea of producing their own energy.
And they should.
People, you know, wanting to get off the grid or something like that. But you're actually not off the grid. They also want to talk about adding backyard wind turbines or slapping up solar panels on the roof. But one of the things you've stressed again and again is reduce, reduce, and then produce. What do you mean by that?
The greatest power source, the greatest untapped power source we have in the United States is what Amory Lovins refers to as the negawatt, which is basically energy efficiency. It's the fifth fuel. It's not solar panels. Solar panels can produce energy. But if you are not using that optimally, if you're not getting every benefit for every kilowatt hour that you're using, it's really optimizing the energy that's already being provided to us. If we're using light bulbs in an unoccupied room, we get zero benefit. We want to flip that model on its head. We want to say that every single energy unit that is coming into the home is being used in every single building. It's called just-in-time energy delivery. It's not Justin Bieber, not Justin Timberlake. It's just-in-time energy. So it's the same concept as manufacturing, where you want to deliver that product and the parts to it exactly at the moment that you need them and no more and no less. Anything else is simply waste or inefficiency or unoptimized opportunity. And so energy, we can do the same thing.
So we're thinking about, you know, as you mentioned, the light bulb example, you know, strategic lighting, making sure that it's on and off at the proper times. But we're also talking about, you know, those really not very sexy things like insulation. I mean, just insulating a house, and that's probably one of the biggest problems for the housing stock that's over, you know, 10 years old now, is it's poorly insulated, not insulated as well as it can be. But it's hard to get people excited about insulation.
And there's no reason to get excited about insulation, actually, because that's not the reason that we live. The reality is that there's every single building in the U.S., whether it's been a large-scale office building or the 300,000-square-foot Exploratorium Science Museum in San Francisco, every building that has achieved net-zero energy has done it without experimental technologies. We've spent a lot of time focusing on what they call the envelope, the insulation and the ceiling and the windows and all these other things. The biggest missed opportunity is really how we're using energy inside of the building, because once we get that heating and air conditioning system very efficient, the remaining load is all that other stuff that we bring into the office and the home, all the Xboxes and the copy machines and everything else that we're plugging into the walls. So now the real challenge is finding a way to use all of the existing technology and integrate that process so that we're getting 100% of the benefit for the energy that's coming into the building.
So solar panels are supposed to be getting cheaper as it becomes more popular. Are they really getting any cheaper, and are they getting any more efficient?
Yes. This is like Moore's Law.
Right.
3 years ago when we put up our solar panels, we paid about $7 an installed watt. Right here in Ann Arbor, I know someone who just installed a system for $3.30, literally half of what we paid. Our panels were 18% efficient. Now there's 20% efficient panels on the market. So you're able to produce more energy in a smaller space for less cost, and it's only getting better every single day.
So how long will it take for somebody who makes savings through solar energy, through more efficiency, to pay off the still pretty steep price of installing solar?
Well, I mean, that's actually one of the challenges. It's not even the payback. It's actually financing the upfront cost of these things, because anybody who can do it, it's a no-brainer. Basically, you're pre-purchasing all of your energy for life. If you can optimize the energy inside the building and then produce all the energy that's needed, you're done. You've eliminated your energy cost. And the challenge is for businesses doing that before your competition does. For homeowners, it's figuring out ways that we can optimize that. But the regulatory system is this very top-down monopolistic system does not allow for the democratizing of the grid. If you want to put solar panels on your roof and sell it to your neighbor like they do in Germany, we unfortunately can't do that here. So a lot of these rules need to be changed, and the financing mechanisms need to be changed. If you can imagine going out and buying a car, if it was the same thing. We went in and got a Chevy in a matter of hours. It took us over 6 months of research and working together to try to figure out how we were going to get those solar panels on the roof. So all of these systems need to change and make it easier for the consumer to get those the ability to produce the energy for their own home.
So it's not just a simple matter of slapping up solar energy and taking advantage of that. It's a matter of being able to work on the grid, working with your utility, which – in some cases, it is not an easy thing. You know, when I'm on a co-op and I see these magazine articles written by the president of my co-op who constantly is saying coal is the solution to our problem because coal is so cheap and plentiful and coal is going to be there for the next century.
Yeah.
Just ignoring all the other concerns about fossil fuels.
Yeah. My best guess is that coal is not going to be the energy of the future, and neither is oil. We're actually producing less oil in the United States now than we were before 1950s levels. You're looking at the real issues here are like interconnection, municipal permitting. So interconnecting with the utility company, how do you do that? Most utility companies will not allow you to put up more than you use. So if half of your usage is gas and the remainder is electricity, they're only going to let you put up enough solar panel to replace that amount of electricity, not the gas portion of that, and certainly not sell it to your neighbors. Permitting. Every single municipality has a different set of rules. It's easier for a contractor to go out from one municipality to another to put up a deck than it is solar panels. And again, imagine if this were the case where they said, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll build that deck for you. Oh, you live in Albion? Ah, I'm not sure what the permitting requirements are for building a deck in Albion. We'd never get decks built. So these things all need to be standardized. And the Clean Energy Coalition is actually working with several municipalities to try to do that that are all nearby each other. But the real solution is to do this statewide. So we have an advantage over other states. So you're bringing in businesses and you're bringing in employees from other states that will live here in Michigan because it's so much easier to levelize their energy costs. And then other states also have things like property tax exemptions where they're not being assessed for the added value of the solar panels.
So it seems that the only thing to Trump politics is saving money, but people concerned about climate change keep talking about saving the planet. And I wonder if you expect the debate to shift, or should it even shift away from that saving the planet to saving money idea?
You know, I think we need both, because the financial argument really makes no sense if we don't have a habitable planet in which to have an economy. So we need that sense of urgency. People need to understand how important this is. PricewaterhouseCoopers projected that at current rates, we could be at 1,200 parts per million, up from the 400 parts where we are right now by the year 2050. In order to stay below 450, we're talking about needing 5.2% reduction from where we are now of carbon emissions every single year through 2050. So this is an urgent thing, but it's also an incredible opportunity. If you look at who's really buying in to net zero energy and renewable energy production, companies like Walmart, Google, and the U.S. Army all have their mission zeros, which by a certain date, they will be powered by 100% renewable energy. Google has gone further and said they will be energy plus and actually be distributing power. These are money-making things. Anybody who can do it before their competition does, levelizing your energy costs or eliminating them, is an extraordinary advantage. And it's something that we can do here in Michigan and create a business advantage for ourselves.
Because of this new method of extracting natural gas called hydraulic fracturing, or actually horizontal hydraulic fracturing, suddenly there's a cheaper supply of natural gas. I wonder how that's affecting the arguments for going to renewables.
Well, this is the thing. We really need a broad and diverse portfolio of energy. Whenever we put all of our eggs in one basket, we get hurt. Ohio put a lot of money into coal. They got hurt when those prices changed. They don't have the natural gas infrastructure that, say, Michigan even has right now. So we need to find, you know, a broader base of fuels. If you look at the price of coal or natural gas or petroleum, there's not a commodity trader in the world that's going to be able to tell you what the price of that's going to be at the end of the trading day today. But we know what the price of renewables like wind and solar are going to be 10,000 years from now. So we need to be adding that into the mix. And one of the most extraordinary things, if you look at the projections for where the energy productions across the country could be by the year 2050, the Great Lakes states, which is not known for our fuels, we don't have the natural resources like Pennsylvania and West Virginia or Wyoming. And yet we're projected to be one of the biggest, I believe, after the South Central U.S., which includes Texas. So after that, we would be the biggest producers of energy in the country. So the Great Lakes region could be producing more energy than the North Atlantic and Mid-Atlantic states, which is extraordinary considering the fuel that we'd be harvesting is mostly from the wind and from the sun.
Yeah, there's not an ounce of coal in this state. It's all imported. And yes, we have natural gas, but that's a limited supply as well. Matthew Grukoff and his wife Kelly own the oldest net zero energy home in North America in Ann Arbor. You can find more information about how they did it and a lot more energy efficiency for the home on greenovation.tv. And you've got a new project you've just started.
Yeah, we've launched the Thrive Net Zero Energy Consulting Collaborative, which basically brings together some of the best minds in the state of Michigan and in the region to work on projects like commercial buildings, even some large-scale homes and schools to optimize their energy and get them to net zero energy. We're working on a project with Habitat for Humanity in Traverse City, a community of 10 homes that is targeting all-electric net zero energy powered completely by the sun.
We'll be looking to hear more about that in the future. Thanks very much, Matt, for coming in.
Hey, Lester, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.